The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed on Youth Voice Amplified are those of the host and the guests and do not necessarily represent the official policy or position of the Kern County Superintendent of Schools office. Any content provided by our guests are of their opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, school, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Youth Voice Amplified covers a wide range of topics that could be upsetting to some listeners. Content warning for each episode and links to resources can be found in this episode's show notes. For the purposes of maintaining confidentiality, names and some identifiable characteristics of our storytellers have been changed, but their voices and their stories are real.
When young people share their stories, they can change the world. But some youth voices still go unheard. Join me, Janessa Fisher.
And me, Brian Johnson, for this youth-led monthly interview series as young people tell their untold stories of experiences with homelessness, foster care, disabilities, teen parenting, and more.
Each conversation will uncover stories of hope, strength from our youth storytellers who want to share the best ways that we can all support youth in similar situations as theirs. If you want to know how to do better for youth or simply just be inspired, this is your show. Every youth has a story to tell.
Are you ready to listen?
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Youth Voice Amplified, the podcast where every youth is heard and every voice matters. I'm your host, Janessa.
And I'm Brian. Today's episode is an important one. We're focusing on unaccompanied homeless youth, students who are navigating high school entirely on their own without the support of their parents, guardians, and are experiencing homelessness.
Before we introduce today's guest, let's take a moment to explain what it means to be an unaccompanied homeless youth under the McKinney-Vento Act. This federal law is designed to protect and support students who don't have a fixed, regular, or adequate place to live. That includes staying in shelters, cars, motels, or couch surfing with friends. Being unaccompanied means they're doing all of this on their own without their parent or guardian.
The McKinney-Vento Act ensures students have a right to stay in school no matter how often they move. It provides critical support like transportation, help with clothing and hygiene items, and access to school programs. Without these protections, unaccompanied homeless youth often face difficult challenges.
These students deal with much more than where to sleep each night. They're juggling school while also struggling with basic needs like food and safety. Many don't know how to access these resources, and they may feel too embarrassed or afraid to ask for help.
Academically, being on your own and homelessness can lead to lower grades, poor attendance, and higher dropout rates. But with caring adults and the support of programs in school like McKinney-Vento, these students can find school stability and success.
Which brings us to today's guest. We are so honored to have Dakota, a high school senior and an unaccompanied homeless youth, joining us. Dakota's story is unique and powerful. He is in his final year of high school and navigating life without parents or guardians while living with a friend's family.
During high school, Dakota found himself on his own facing homelessness. In our conversation, he shared his journey with incredible honesty, starting from his childhood, through his struggles in school, and finally to hopes for his future.
What makes this episode special is that Dakota is still in school, so we get an inside look at the challenges and triumphs of students in his situation. Dakota's resilience and openness is truly inspiring. He wants his story to help others going through what he has experienced.
Now please enjoy our conversation with Dakota.
3, 2, 1, go!
Dakota, welcome to Youth Voice Amplified.
Happy to have you.
So Janessa's going to start you off with an icebreaker. So what is that question today?
Oh yeah, today's icebreaker is, what is your favorite movie of all time?
My favorite movie of all time would have to be The Outsiders.
Why is that one your favorite movie?
Yeah, why?
It's one of my favorite movies because it has a really good story. Plus, it reminds me of, you know, Oyodel in general and how it could have been in the past.
So kind of like where you reside, and it kind of reminds you of that.
Yeah.
Another question we'd like to ask on the show is, what does Youth Voice mean to you?
Youth Voice means to me basically giving the youth a chance to stand up and talk about what they can't normally talk about to other people and just expressing themselves in a different type of way.
Great definition.
So jumping right into your story, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your life growing up?
Well, my name is Dakota and I'm 18, and my life growing up was definitely a bit more different than most, because whenever I was younger, I was living with my dad and stuff, and then about 10 years old, he woke up about 2 in the morning to a heart attack and then passed away right then and there. So then at that point, I ended up swapping between my mom, my sister, and then finally I ended up living with my girlfriend and her parents.
And
When you went to live with your girlfriend and parents, how old were you at that time?
I was 16 whenever I moved in with them, yeah.
So about your like sophomore year of high school?
Yeah.
How did you find yourself on your own during high school?
So how that happened was whenever I was that stuff with my dad, and then whenever I was living with my mom, she ended up passing away while I was staying night. And then, so what happened was I ended up living with my sister, and then just some stuff between me and her husband. Her husband was really like, I wouldn't say he was physically abusive, but he was for surely like mentally trying to control me and make me like his kid, even though I was supposed to be his little brother. And so at that point, I kind of just ended up moving in with my girlfriend and her parents. Thank God they were kind enough to let me.
So essentially around that age, you were technically kind of like on your own because you weren't under your parents.
Yeah, I didn't have no legal guardian or nothing. I was technically a ward of the state.
Gotcha. So how did that register like with school?
It was definitely more challenging because it's not like I could go home and say, oh, dad, I need help with this. Oh, mom, I need help with this, because they had kids of their own. So they were always going to be their top priority, like in school and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So with me, it was just kind of like a, you're old enough, you can figure it out, that type of situation.
And since you didn't have your parents, when you went to school, how did you like register like every year?
So how that happened was my sister would either have to register me, or this year my girlfriend's mom had to register me, and it was a whole process because we had to get I think my birth certificate and then stuff like that to be able to prove that both my parents passed away, and that way I needed a different adult to enroll me.
Mm-hmm. So they literally had to, you had to get proof pretty much saying that your parents passed away in order for you to even register.
Yeah.
Sounds like you were an unaccompanied homeless youth. Is that how they identified you at the school, like through McKinney-Vento?
Yeah, that's how they identified me. And even to sign the papers for McKinney-Vento, I had to get a...
They called it a registered guardian or something along those lines, to where they had to ask someone else for permission to sign my papers. And at that time, I was going to Vista West. Mm-hmm. And so I was there for credit recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I heard about the... Instead of having to have 260 credits, only needing 140, that's whenever I really started pushing for that McKinney-Vento and realizing how important it was.
What were some of the challenges at school while you were technically homeless under McKinney-Vento?
Some of the main challenges were trying to find the right classes to fit my schedule, and also how teachers and even some of my other classmates viewed me, because especially being in Oildale and my past, some people viewed me as, oh, that one broke kid, oh, that one homeless kid, this and that. And then in reality, it was like, well, yeah, but I'm also getting better grades than you. So mm-hmm. What does that say?
Mm-hmm. So just a lot of that stigmatization in the schools where they kind of just labeled you a certain way.
Yeah.
Did being on your own affect your school life and grades? Or?
Yeah, it did, especially whenever it first happened, because my grades were just rock bottom. I started not going to school at all. Like, my freshman year, I'm pretty sure I only went to school about 3-4 months out of the entire school year. And especially since I was right after my COVID year, which I only went 2 months of, it was just rough.
Would you say that was, like, the biggest, what, fallback? Like, when you entered high school, that's how you fell so behind?
Yeah. That's what made me miss all the credits that I needed and stuff. I only had, like, 5 credits after my first year.
So transitioning into the McKinney-Vento program, there were services for homeless youth at your school.
Well, as I said, I was just going to Vista West, and this was the first quarter there. And then one of the counselors within the first like week or two pulled me into their office and said, hey, you just switched schools. You're technically homeless because you don't live with your parents. There's this really nice program that can help you out in a bunch of different ways. And then that's whenever I kind of started diving deeper into it. And then that's whenever she explained about the clothing program, the credits program, and then just the hygiene and stuff like that. And then that's whenever I really started getting interested. But then again, the problem with that was I needed a legal guardian to be able to sign those papers for me since I wasn't 18 yet.
For our listeners, the McKinney-Vento program helps students who don't have a stable place to live, making sure that they can stay in school and get the support that they need.
So what services did you receive from your school's McKinney-Vento program?
The services that I personally got included credit drop, which, again, is one of the only reasons I'm able to graduate on time. Mm-hmm. And even if I would have stayed in Vista West last year, I would have been able to graduate a full year early. And another one that I got was the clothing shopping. So I think it was once every semester we were able to go to Target and then spend like $30 on shoes, or $50 on shoes, $50 on pants, $30 on shirts, and then socks as well. I don't remember how much that was though.
So they take pretty much, they have a budget for you to buy some clothes through that program.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. How did that help change things for you at school?
That helped change things because I was able to, I guess, find my style a little bit better and a little bit easier, because I was actually being able to choose my own clothes and being able to, you know, choose a style that I thought fit me. And then the credits-wise was helping me drop the credits to where I could graduate on time and even early if I chose to, but I chose to just graduate with the rest of my classmates.
And with the McKinney-Vento services, did they help with transportation?
Yeah, they can, yeah. I take the school bus right now, but they were offering basically like van rides with other McKinney-Vento students home if I didn't have no form of transportation, and also get bus passes for free from the office.
That's a very awesome resource.
Yeah.
Do you think your school experience would have been different if you had found out about the program sooner?
Yeah, if I would have been able to get on the program as soon as I moved in with my sister, as soon as my parents passed away, I feel like I could have graduated at least a year or two earlier than I did, or than I am, rather.
During this time, what kept you going during your hardest moments?
During my hardest moments, honestly, it would have to be the thought of wanting to be better than, not better than, but rather being more financially stable than my parents and then even my sister and her husband, especially whenever I got with my girlfriend and moved in with her parents. It gave me that extra little bit of like, come on, now you're 18 living with your girlfriend and her parents. Like, you need to do something. You need to start making money. You need to get a house, you know, all that other stuff. And it kind of motivated me to do better in school. I got a 4.0 GPA now, and then just to join the army and stuff, and I'm already enlisted in that and everything, and basically it just changed my whole life.
So kind of taking that initiative?
Yeah.
As far as mentorship goes, can you tell us about someone who had helped you through this time?
Definitely my girlfriend's parents. They helped me, give me that push to be able to do all these different things, and even to join the McKinney-Vento program. They're the ones that like, oh, I know what that is, you should do it. Like, it's gonna help you out a lot, you should get there. And then just in general, they've been really big supporters, and I couldn't have asked for anyone better, honestly.
What makes them that special and inspiring to you?
The fact that they've always been kind to me, they always respected me, they've always treated me as if their own, even though I'm their daughter's boyfriend. And it's given me that type of respect for myself. Like, I'm not just some kid no more. I'm not just some random like oiled alien. I can actually do something for my life. I can actually get out.
They gave you that hope.
Yeah.
I know you said they mean a whole bunch to you because of what you've been through and how they have persevered and been there for you. Going back to who you were when everything happened and to now, do you see a huge difference in your personality and who you are as a person?
Oh yeah, I see a huge difference. Like, how I used to be was honestly really immature, thinking short term, not really knowing what I wanted to do with my life and not knowing where to go. And then compared to now, like, I got like a guaranteed job now. I'm trying to put in the full 20 years into the army so I get lifetime retirement. Especially since I'm going to be a correctional officer whenever I get out. I want to get a job as a normal correctional officer, make even more, and then...
You kind of have like a roadmap since now, yeah. Since then.
I looked at the bad road and I looked at the good road, and then I just chose, you know what, the good road it is.
What are you most proud of when you think about everything you've been through?
Honestly, I'm most proud about how I've turned into what I feel like a complete different person than I used to be. I used to just sit at home all day or sit at the park and then just not really do anything. But now I just I try my best to do a little bit of everything anytime I can.
Can you tell us about your goals for the future? What's next for you?
My goals for the future would have to be getting to retirement and then maybe even opening a business and trying to own a property. So that way, not just me who has money, but it's also the generations after me, like my kids, their kids, and so on and so forth.
That generational wealth, so to speak.
Yeah.
Creating that for your family.
Making that old money.
So being through what you've been through in the McKinney-Vento program, what advice would you have for people who have never experienced homelessness, want to understand students who are going through it?
Best thing I could say is not to judge someone by how they look or how they feel, but rather like what their thought process is and how they attack a certain situation, because there's always going to be those select few who like chose it, but then in the end there's also going to be those people who like they didn't have no other choice. They had to go through it, and then they have to now find a way out of it. So it's just, you have to understand where they came from and where they're trying to go with their future.
What advice would you give students who are going through similar challenges that you've once faced?
I'll just tell them to keep their head up and then keep on pushing, because at that point it can't really get much worse. You feel me? Like, it's already raining. What else is it going to do? Start pouring.
That's sound advice.
So what would you say to school staff members and teachers you've met along the way? What advice would you give them on how to interact with students?
I would say, like, just take it down a notch. You act like they act like it's the most serious thing in the world to get a letter on a report card, whenever in reality, you can get good grades and not learn anything. So in the end, you got to make sure you actually teach the subject and don't just tell them, okay, you do this like this, now do it again. You have to actually let them understand, okay, so 2 + 2 = 4 because whoop-de-woo.
Is there anything else that you would like to talk to us before we end today?
Basically just this, more towards anyone listening, just keep your head up and keep pushing. No matter what, it can only get easier.
What is your life motto?
My life motto would basically be like, always look up, because if you look down, then you ain't gonna get anywhere.
I like that. First and foremost, I want to thank you for being on our podcast. I know it was a little wonky starting out today, but I think that you've been through something hard, and when a lot of people go through something hard, it takes them down, and it takes them years to recover, and you have done it in months, and I admire your resilience that you bring, and that hope and that positivity you bring.
Thank you.
I would also like to thank you for being a guest on our show today. I understand, like, a little bit about Oildale. I'm not from Oildale, but I understand, like, where you come from. And to see, like, you actually putting it into your brain to make that transition to, like, the end of the tunnel, that's amazing. You know, a lot of people don't make it that far. So I just want to say I appreciate your dedication.
And not only did you say, I'm going to go far, you've made a plan for yourself. You've made a roadmap on how you're going to get there and what you're going to do to ensure that success for yourself and your family. So I just want to thank you for being here. Of course. You are such a cool guest.
Thank you.
Brian?
Dakota, thank you.
Of course.
Well, first and foremost, we always want to thank our guests for coming on. And I just love that Dakota brings such resilience to the table and doesn't let him bring it down. He lets it elevate him. And now he is looking to the future with even more hope and possibility. And it's just truly inspiring.
And I love how he put the power in his own hands. He didn't let his past define him from correcting his future.
I know people who have lost parents, and it's taken them years to get back on their feet and to get striving to forward. So this is amazing that a young man can do it so quickly and see that this is not going to define him. It is only going to motivate him and move him forward.
And I'm glad he has a plan for himself for the future. I'm more than sure he's going to be able to complete his goal.
Well, that's it for this episode of Youth Voice Amplified. If you enjoy what you heard and want to support the show, please take a moment and rate us and leave us a positive review on your favorite podcast player. It'll help us spread awareness of the podcast and find new listeners.
And if you're looking for our show notes or recommended resources for any of our episodes, please visit our website at www.kern.org/YVA. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or would like to recommend a topic or guest, you can email us at youthvoiceamplified@gmail.com.
Join us for our next episode when Brian and I sit down with our next youth storyteller. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.
And we out of here.
Youth Voice Amplified is a youth-led project of the Kern County Superintendent of Schools Office, created,
produced and hosted by Janessa Fisher and Brian Johnson, with writing, research, and additional production support by Kim Silva, Allison Baptiste, and the Kern Educational Television Network. Major funding for the Youth Voice Amplified podcast is provided by the Student Achievement and Support Division of the California Department of Education through the Homeless Innovative Program Grant. Thanks for listening.